G'day everybody, welcome to our live talk tonight on Sunday night. I've just finished a 4-day horsemanship clinic today, which was a really good one. We had a lot of good people come along and yeah, had some really nice things happen, which is good over the clinic. It was a really enjoyable one, and we had some great weather. Probably the last one we'll have here is as the nights were starting to get a bit cold, but it was really good. So we've got a few questions come through tonight, quite a few actually. So I'm going to try and get through as many as I can. If I don't, I'll sort of do a few more when I'm in Germany. The next live talk will be when I'm in Germany, which I'm going to next week, which I'm looking quite forward to. First, Constance. Actually, Constance, I think, is from Germany, so she's got a question. And it's about treats. What do I think about treats for doing something right? People who know me and have worked with me probably know I don't use treats a lot. Now, I have seen some sort of benefits in whether it's been clicker training or something like that, where they've been sort of using a positive reinforcement training to reinforce good feelings in horses. I've seen that, where people have sort of had a horse that was a bit girthy, for instance, and sort of could get quite sour, and they've used treats to take away that, to try and reward the horse for a softer thought. And there's been, quite successful. It is quite successful. I tend to sort of reward a soft thought, as in I still kind of use pressure and release, and when I see the horse sort of change to a softer thought, I'd sort of release the pressure. The problem with treat training, I think, is anticipation, and in a sense, treat training can be just as stressful, if not more, in some horses, because it can be treat withholding. So treat withholding is it's like a walking a horse around a paddock with the grass just there, and a horse that's been yarded for a few days and is quite hungry wants to eat the grass. It's going to be quite stressed and not listening to what you're asking, because the desire to eat grass might overpower the sort of the connection with the rider. And I see that a lot in treat training, where the horse is sort of thinking more about doing something to get the treat, and its mind's not necessarily on what it's doing. So its accuracy can be sometimes quite poor. I'll give you an example, because sometimes people use treats not to lure horses in floats, but still in a sort of quite educational way, where they sort of reward the horse for coming into the positively reward the horse for coming into a trailer or something like that, so into a horse float. So, and I helped someone the other day, over 12 months ago, that I was at her house helping her load a horse, and she's getting the horse on the float, and she showed me where she was at. Now, I could clearly see the horse was bothered by the float, but it would go in because it knew that, there was a kind of reward for going in the float. The float sort of make it positive to go in. The catch was, what I noticed was the horse was not thinking about the float. It was kind of bypassing the float emotionally, because it had the thought of the treat in its mind and the reward in its mind. And that kind of made the horse kind of block out the float as it walked in. And I said to her that, that this might be the problem. This is why the horse can only go in there so long. And when we all go out, it starts pouring and carrying on in there, is because it's not thinking about the float enough as it's going on there. It has to have all its thoughts on what it's scared of, all of them, and none on, I might get that treat that I desire. And horses sometimes will avoid some things, for a treat. So the accuracy in the movement might be not as good, because they're kind of trying to do the movement to get a reward. So their mind is past the movement. It's on the other side of the movement. So that to me is anticipation. So I kind of like the horses in the moment. So yeah, treats can put a little bit too much desire to have anticipation in them. And also when people think it's positive reinforcement, you know, sometimes we go into it thinking we're sort of not causing stress on the horses, but we are. It can cause just the same amount of stress on a horse to be trying to find an answer because it wants something, and the anxiety levels can be just the same. So yeah, you've got to be careful thinking that treats are going to be the sort of be all and end all, and we're going to take all the stress away from horses. But my biggest gripe, I guess, is that the horses are past, they're on the other side of what they're doing. They're kind of hunting something, and it's on the other side. It's like jumping a creek instead of walking through the creek very carefully. They kind of jump the creek to get on the other side because the other side looks safe. So it's just the bypass thing that I worry about with treat training. It's the bypassing with their emotions because their mind's on the treat. So yeah, but in some aspects, you know, I'm not going to take away treats completely. You know, sometimes people use them as, but you have to be very careful with it and know and acknowledge that your horse is taking on board what it's doing, especially when it comes to horse floats or very unsafe things and very dangerous, you know, horses that, you know, things that are quite frightening for the horse. You know, if you want a horse not to scramble, you've got to walk that horse on a horse float and show it that this is the most dangerous thing you'll ever go on, and it is the worst thing you'll ever be on in your life, and you've got to know that, and you've got to get confident in understanding that you can walk on that most that dangerous thing. You know, trying to make it seem safe and acceptable and all this only maybe misleads them later on from when they actually travel in the float. So they really have to think about exactly what they're doing, not have an answer in their head or a desire to sort of have something else. But that's a good question. And Constance, you got another question. If your horse flees from me when I fetch it from the pasture. Now, the kind of old way was you just kind of push a horse around until the horse gets sick of it and sort of comes up to you. That's not really the key. If the horse flees from you in the pasture, there's obviously sort of a, you know, there's quite a lot of reasons why it does it. One of the reasons is if it's not quite comfortable, not quite connected to you, then its desire to be with other horses is going to be a lot stronger. Also, you know, if you're working your horse every day and it's going in the pasture with its mates and eating grass and, you know, camping under a tree and enjoying the good life, even if you're doing sort of half an hour in the arena every second or third day, it goes, oh, you know, this is pretty difficult, so why would I want to be caught? So what you got to think about is, okay, what would I do if my horse runs away in the pasture? I'd probably have a horse, you know, when I used to get horses in, I kind of used to feed them in the yards, and that's kind of a lure, isn't it? But at the same time, at some stage when my horses were calm, I could go out and catch them in the paddock. So how big is your pasture? I'm not sure. How big is it? Like, you know, I might go out in the paddock, and because we call it a paddock, pastures, you know, just a paddock with grass in it. So I might go out, if my horse runs away, I just sort of might wait there, and I might just watch from a distance what it's doing. And if I walk out, you can tend to see when your horse is going to run away. You can see it, you know, in the distance, kind of acknowledge you. And when it acknowledges you, I just walk somewhere else and just not pay much attention to it. And actually, one of my trips over to Germany, there's a little horse that fleed away from you in the pasture. So what I tended to do with that one is I just went, oh, and he'd go hide behind other horses and all that sort of thing. And so I just kind of go and, first of all, I went to other horses and just patted them and paid interest to them, and especially the ones that I thought he was kind of a bit closer to. And I tried to quieten them down so he couldn't sort of take them away. And he started to pay a bit of interest in me. And when he looked at me, I was just going to walk off somewhere else. And when I wasn't a threat, I just used approach and retreat. So you know, when the thoughts come towards me, I just sort of back off a little bit or walk somewhere else. And then I just might walk in when I see that horse kind of get a little bit anxious. I just stop a little bit, walk away a little bit. No, I just use that to try and get them interested and come to me. I wouldn't tend to sort of go out and chase them around, but sometimes I might just follow a horse a little bit and just keep following, a little bit annoying, not annoying, but just sort of just like you're on it all the time. You're just following from a distance. But every time it kind of puts its thoughts on you, you walk away. And then when you finally get a connection with your horse and you can touch it, maybe that day don't catch it, just go away and just stand with it and just make it feel good. And don't always just catch it in the pasture and go work it. And because no matter how good you are and how connected you are, there's obviously a disadvantage in carrying you around, you know, doing certain things, and there's more stress involved in learning than there is in just being out in the pasture with his friends. So you might want to say that, you know, there's some good time with me. So you might go out and sort of mutually groom your horse, find scratchy spots that it likes, and, you know, do that. And then also what I do is when I catch a horse, say if I had to work it, I might, after you work it, spend a bit of time doing something it enjoys so it's connected when you let it go. So the last memory with you is not of you just finishing it, hosing it down and letting it out. It's something where it actually walks away sort of wanting to stay with you. So before you let it go, spend that time just getting it to want to stay with you. So when it goes back out in the paddock, it's got that memory and building on that connection, and that's a stronger relationship where the horse gets some good deals out of it, then you're going to get a better, you know, an easier horse to catch in the pasture. But it's a kind of holistic approach, because there are some tricky ones that you know, they know that, you know my horse is in the, but what I found, they also get in the habit once they kind of like and easy getting caught, even though there's a bit of stress through work or there's things where they're learning, they get a little bit stressed, and they kind of get in the habit of being caught because they're happy when they get caught, and then they're happy when they let go. There's a bit in that time that they're stressed, but it does improve. Anyway, I hope that helps. I hope that didn't sort of, you know, leave you too lost. But yeah, there's a lot of things you'd want to be doing on that. Denise. Rocky the Highlander pony, when ridden behind other horses, gets stroppy, tossing his head, jogging. How do I get him to relax? I'm going to answer the question just as is, as you know, as I say, I could go right back and, you know, I don't know anything about him. I don't know how he understands his tools. He might be uncomfortable with stopping. He might be uncomfortable in the reins and legs and things like that. So what I want you to think about is if he's not comfortable with all the tools and you don't have a kind of a reset button. What I mean by reset button is if you take a rein, you can change his thoughts a bit and take him off somewhere else, and he doesn't know how to follow the reins good, then all your tools could be a bother to him. But something I do with horses, one thing I have done a lot of over the years is riding and being amongst horses in groups and stuff, and, you know, helping people in those situations. And what I would tend to do in that situation, if I was just out of my horse started to blow up a little bit, I kind of just, it's behind other horses he gets stroppy. Now, he might be what I call a horizon horse that looks over the horizon. They cast their focus a long way away and they kind of get right out there. And even when you get them in the front, they still keep, you know, motoring along. But if he wasn't a horizon horse and he was just a horse that just wanted to keep up with the others, you just put him out the front for a while, walk him up. And when you get out the front, make kind of ask him to walk up and say, come on, you know, we're out here, let's walk up. Let's, you know, think while we're out here, not just, and he might get up the front and go, oh, geez, a bit too much for me. And then you just might peel him back in and follow in a few other horses. But something I do is I just go up to the front and then just peel back off and come in behind again. And when they push up through, so if it's a horse that's just pushing up to get up and then goes, oh, then you just actually walk them out the front a little bit and they'll get a little bit kind of not sure, and then you'll bring him back through and up and after a while they kind of settle in, and just offer them a loose rein behind the other horses and settle in. The other thing I would never take them at the back. So if all the horses are constantly moving in one direction and you can't, if they're not, you know, if all the people aren't your friends and things like that and they're just all riding on a big trail ride, you can't sort of say to the group stop, or you can't say, hey, everybody just ride around for a little bit. So I would tend to just ride him up the front. And then I just kind of ride him around a little bit at the front and sort of make him connect, as in if he's stressed behind the other horses, you doing too much behind them is going to make him possibly more stressed and make him feel like you're kind of keeping him away from where he wants to be. But if you're taking him up where he wants to be, and then he's going to have less tension. So when he's got less tension, you've got more chance of connecting with him. So when he's got less tension, you go up the front, just ride him around, bring him back through, back to where he was, ride him up to the front again, bring him back through. And then when he starts to feel like he's connected and he's kind of happy, you just let him dribble in and go, there it is, and just breathe out, send your reins, loosen up on him and just let him just track along behind a few horses. If he kind of gets bothered, you just take him up. Now, just remember, you're not taking him up to punish him or make it like, you know, go, I'm going to make it hard up here. You're kind of just taking him up just to sort of get him in a place where he kind of chills out a bit. And then when he's kind of going, I'm not just about to tip the cup over or the worry cup over, I'm okay. Then you go, yeah, well, here I am. But when you're saying here I am, you're kind of getting him to acknowledge what you're asking. And when he tunes in, just bring him in and dribble him in behind. And that's sort of how I deal with it. Because, you know, you see people fight and bringing them back, trying to sort of show them, and they just get worse. Because once that horse gets into sort of the red zone, that's when the cup's full. Very hard to try and connect with them. And I've seen horses that go, like, I remember when Dad had his trekking business, and he used to buy a lot of horses out of sale yards. And I'd see horses that he'd buy, and they would be on adrenaline all day. You know, the amount of energy they would have sort of consumed and stuff was, you know, it's kind of, you've got to tune into them and bring them back into that green zone where you can sort of tune in and tap into them. So that's really important. Joe, I think you're on there, Joe. I think I saw you come up there. Hello, I think, oh, there you are, join. How do you just ignore a horse when it lays its ears flat back when near another horse? This starts about 6 feet away. You know, there's a few different scenarios. In a normal riding situation and you don't know horses or things like that, and your horse commonly sort of gets quite cranky, sometimes I just do is take it out of that space. So it might start 6 meters away. I just curve its thought. And just like what you said there, I just steer it off, reset. Take the rein, reset. Just take that thought away. It's just like if a horse saw a scary kangaroo. I just go, I didn't want the horse to bother about that. Then I just go reset over here. Because it's important sometimes that horses don't get too far into their emotions, that those emotions turn into something bigger. So sometimes we can intervene, because all the training life of a horse, we're kind of intervening saying, reset, your adrenaline's too high, I need to bring you to a nice place, a better place. So in their training, when they're worried, that's what we're applying. So when they get aggressive, we've kind of got to apply that too, because it is a disconnection. And if you've got a strong horse that can be a bit more aggressive and does it all the time, and it can turn into something when you get closer to the horse, you kind of want to start to practice a reset. So whether it's a back off, whether it's a turn, whether it's something like that, just change your thought. If they're in hand, you know, you might just pop the lead rope on the ground, walk off somewhere else or something like that. You know, pop the flag, walk off, just something just to reset their thought, re-get them back to you and say, don't bother about that. Because you do got to curb, because some horses are, as you know, a little bit different to the others. They cope. Now, some horses are aggressive because they still carry tension around us, and they're a little bit more aggressive, or they're quite protective in situations with new horses, and it's to do with a lot of other tension, including the tension that they have with people and training. So in that instance, then sometimes the better the relationship and that you have with your horse, the better it copes in other situations. But with a horse that just kind of does it I'd kind of curve his thought and just redirect it to something else and say, you know, we don't, you know, because when it turns to a proper, oh, I've made the thought, I'm going to commit to that now, but be aware of those thoughts. Don't sort of provoke the horse and, you know, bring it any closer if you think that's going to turn into a kick or something like that, or a bite. There are some times when horses need to interact with other horses, and you can start to sort of work on their bubbles a little bit by saying, bring them in, bring them away, bring them in. And then when they kind of get curious, let them get curious, because sometimes you do have to ride up and sidle up with other horses and lead other horses and stuff like that. But just in that instance, yeah, it'd just be hit the reset button, I think. So yeah, it looks like you must be working a few. So if you get a few questions, when I get through these, I might be able to answer them, but there's a few here, so I'll see where I go. Viv, Bobby snatches the reins, old naughty Bobby, I know Bobby. Head Bobby, that's why he probably should be called Bobby, because when I saw that video that you sent me of Bobby going like, you know, like this, that's his old habit, and that's a habit of his when he kind of mentally gets out there somewhere else. And I think because of all the years prior to you of, you know, lack of clarity in the reins and things like that, that's why he bobs and that's why he pushes his head out. So it's hard because everything you've been sort of learning has been working and improving him, but that kind of, you know, when he gets out and he's still a horse that, you know, he gets back in that memory and I'm out there, I'm gone and then the bits can, and he's got that habit. And as soon as the anxiety gets to a certain level, I think with him, when his anxiety gets to a certain level, that's when he starts to hunt and push out to those reins, even on a loose rein. And that's the problem. It's just not when you're pulling on the reins, it's when he's on a loose rein. He'll even start to hunt and push on them. So, So, if he hunts on those reins, as I showed you and you remember at the clinic, sometimes you've got to hold on those reins till he loosens and resets and comes back through the reins and backs up a bit and says, you know, I'm here. That's really important. Sometimes monitoring a little bit earlier on the rides to sort of do things, you know, reset him, bring him back to an island, reset him before he gets to a level that you can't sort of help him. But in all your riding, as you already know, you're going to commit to those reins till he loosens and he softens and he connects and he backs up and he gets softer and softer till the reins aren't a trap, but they're a guiding tool. So that in your work is going to be really important. Sometimes if he's hunting on the reins like that, you might just be able to take a turn on him instead and just turn him over there. But if you sort of, if he still gets a bit of a hunt up, then sometimes you just might hold on the reins and not punish him for hunting, but hold until he realizes, oh, this is the answer, and he loosens and comes back through the reins. It's kind of a hard one because, you know, there's probably a lot of little things, but it, you know, if I was doing it, all I would do is take a curve to reset him, or, you know, close the reins in a way that gets him. And if he hunts, then I kind of block him on that hunt and just say, that door's closed, come back into here. When he loosens up, then I center him and say, there it is, you know, here, stop. Just center your thoughts there with me. I call it an island. Like, there's a few horses today at the clinic, you know, that get out there a little bit and I just say, you know, this left rein's taking you to an island. It's an island. It's like a connection. So the horse goes. It's a reset button, and then you see the horse kind of change a bit, and you offer a clear space in there for them to just relax. But yeah, with him, just be very consistent with the reins all the time. Just consistently, the reins mean change mentally. And they also soften change. Every time you touch the reins, you commit to them for that change, whether it be left, right, two reins for a backup. And if your habit is like that, then that hunt will go away. And I've seen big improvements when I've worked with Viv on that. So, you know, from the horse I saw when you first rode him around, when I saw him, and to the change that we had in one clinic where he was kind of softening up and coming back through the reins. But he's just going to go back to that as a default when the adrenaline gets up. So prior to that, you've got to try and have him kind of, you know, coming down a bit before the adrenaline gets up. But yeah, it's sort of a long road with those horses, but if you're sort of committed to it, you will get some change, it'll improve. But yeah, you're going to be a little bit more backing in the in the calmer environments that he can sort of be really comfortable with closing the reins. Actually, something I was doing, you know, I was just remembered it because I was doing it today, something I show people a lot too is because sometimes as I was working with a horse and there's still this block that kind of lasted too long where the horse kept its head up and it didn't sort of loosen up and come down. So what I did was I wanted the rider to sort of have a consistent sort of feel on the rein. So I just there's something I can pretend to be a rein. Here's the guy, the camera. That's a good rein. Put that there. Now, there's some reins. Look at that. So I just get them to, you know, hold the reins like that. And then I kind of say my hands are down here. I pick up my hands like I'm going to take up contact on the reins. So I pick my hands up like that. And I gently go through and I close the reins and I draw. And I kind of, and then when my horse kind of loosens and connects, then I just gently loosen up on the reins. And then I pick up the feel, close the reins. And I find some horses that works good because it's quite a rhythmic. They kind of feel those reins come through in that kind of rhythmic close. And then when they kind of push on them, you kind of draw and they kind of loosen up. And then you just kind of open your hands gently. And it's kind of like a sponge. You just sponge into them. And that sometimes horses, it's just a consistent draw on them and just loosen up, come back. And that's something you can kind of practice on a lot when you're packing him. And, you know, so every time you close the reins, you've got to have that response. Okay, Tony, Dan the man, Dan for everybody. Dan is the man from Snowy Rivers Horse. That's the name of the man from Snowy Rivers Horse, Dan. And Tony's horse looks like the man from Snowy Rivers Horse. So that's pretty cool. Dan puts the brakes on when he's leading. Now, Dan does have a strong personality. I know, Dan, because I spent a little bit of time floating him to leave the clinic. And yes, I would call him stoic. He's a very nice horse and he's got some very nice, quiet ways about him, but he can be very stoic in his intention. So when you have a little bit of trouble with him, I can feel you're sort of, there'll be times there that you're going to be like, oh. So when he gets stuck on the lead, and I know how he gets stuck, and he might be at a stage, also a couple of things I did with Tony prior, at the clinic was when he stops, I kind of just hold on the field till he went clunk and loosened up. And so because it was very easy with him to stop and a lot of people kind of go stop and then they go, oh, come on and do this. And then the horse kind of just goes, oh, I've got a release there. Whereas I'd be just walking and then they stop and I just hold and wait until I go, oh, this has not changed anything, and they come along. But Dan is probably a horse that sometimes he could probably sit there and go, well, I can sit here too. Are you committed? Because I am. And there are ways. So when a horse leans on a rope, there's a point where they kind of shut down to it. And if we pull on them, they just sort of put their effort into kind of just blocking and bracing. And their eyes stop searching. They stop searching. They just roll their eyes and just sit there. And they sit there and sit there and sit there. So when that happens, they've stopped searching. So that's when you kind of bring in a tool that starts to bring desire back in them. So as you would have seen me use a flag. So once he sort of sits and braces on that, I just have the flag out in front of him and pop it. And that would sort of make him go, whoa, flag in front of me. And that would reignite his thoughts and open his mind up again to possibly search again, open up the desire. And then the desire would make him go, ooh, push, I might step. Okay, so that's the one that I'd probably offer you. The other one is, if you don't have a flag, you just might pop the rope, okay, on the ground, and he's going to go pop, whoa, and step forward. As you do it, just to help, you can sort of walk off the side a little bit and just give him a break and come forward, as they're stepping off to the side. Last resort, and this is kind of would resort to slightly driving him, but like coming from behind a little bit, but you never ever start there. I say the putting something in front to just create that desire and get him to push back into that lead and search again would actually get him to free up the feet. But I mean, if you're having real trouble and he's kind of dulling to the flag or pop of a rope or anything like that, you can just kind of keep the pressure. Now, this is not last resort. This one here that I'm about to say is something you can teach young horses, foals and stuff like that, is you just kind of take the pressure forward. He's got the pressure and you just keep walking around and around and around and around till his feet break. And then when his feet break, you just kind of, the rope will loosen and then just walk off. If he braces again, you just keep walking around and around with pressure, like hold the same pressure that he braces on until his feet break and then walk off. Because once he gets to an angle like this, he's going to kind of get off balance a bit and move. And that's one way. You could just bump the flag on his hip or something like that till his hind feet free up and he'll move and then you lead him off. But I tend to like drawing their thoughts towards where they've got to go and getting them to push and come forward, because that's going to fix the pullback better in the long run than kind of just going back and putting the flag behind him and chasing him up. Because you've got to think that if you put the flag behind him, he's just going to run away from the flag, whereas putting it in front of him a little bit gets him to push back into the pressure and then come forward, and that's going to teach him not to pull back, whereas one will just make him run away from something else. And when that's not there, one day he'll still probably lean on pressure, if that makes sense. But if it's sort of desperate, you can just sort of bump him somewhere to get the feet to suddenly free up. And then when they free up, take that flag away and he'll just push, he'll free up and he'll come forward. But you really got to think that this is the lead rope that I'm teaching through, not just, you know, because I've seen so many horses that people thought they were leading because they pull them here and just send a stick back here and kind of chase them up, and then the horses are trot up beside them, but when push come to shove, they'd still pull back. And I know, Joe, you're online there, that you've seen that with a few horses at clinics where they shut down in that lead rope and they're really hard to come forward. There's a few of you guys there that I've seen that. Joe, this one must have just come up. Oh, I missed these ones. Jeez, there's a lot. Okay, Donna, I'm going to answer a bit of this question, but I'm going to have to leave a few questions for next time because we're going to go over time soon. But so he gets rushy in the canter. Okay, rushy in the canter, and you know, because when you bring him back to the trot, so he gets in a robotic state. When he's cantering under saddle, he'd go forever, but I know he isn't connecting with me because after transitioning to a trot, he's very difficult to direct his mind. Okay, something I do with him is I go right back to the beginning, as in teach him accelerator. So, and teach him to walk. So a lot of horses think go, accelerate, go. And they kind of, some of them are frightened of the accelerator, as in they don't like legs, and then they rush, or they just got used to it. So a horse like him, I definitely teach him how to stay connected when we walk off first. So, you know, instead of like going, there's two ends of the spectrum, okay, and you've got to teach from both ends of the spectrum. One end of the spectrum is what a lot of, and I used to sort of work at until I really understood how to come in from both ends of the spectrum is, one end of the spectrum is, you know, my horse rushes, take him in a bit of a circle, reset him, let him out again and go, there it is. You know, that's something. So at the trot, as soon as that horse mentally leaves, reset, loose rein, let him out, breathe out, just let him center. And if he loses center and starts to go ahead, starts to duck off, whatever it is, just take a rein, gently reset, and here it is. And he's got to manage his own speed on a loose rein. You know, some people say just let him trot for ages in an arena till they finally just start to relax. That's sort of, you know, it works sometimes, but it doesn't teach us any good horsemanship. It just kind of is one way of doing it. But trying to understand and tune into our horses when they emotionally leave is very important in our training and our understanding of our own horses. The other thing I would come in at is when I walk off my horse. This is working at the other end of the spectrum. So one is when my horse leaves and I'm already going, but oftentimes we think my horse has left me when it rushes. But actually, if you go right back to the start, when you ask your horse to walk off from a standstill, I bet you it probably walks off. So it left you right then. So that's another, that's the start of the spectrum there. When, you know, teach your horse to walk off connected with you to start with. And to do that, you might think, well, my horse walks off okay. And then most horses, people think their horse walks off okay, but it doesn't. Because I bet you if you took half a step and went woo, your horse would go, what? And push into the reins like that because it got a surprise. So it's really possibly emotionally leaving you as soon as energy gets to the feet. So what I would do is I'd just put a little bit of thought. I'd put a forward thought in my horse and let it think forward. And then I'd go, that's all I want you to do. And it might just lean forward and then stop. And then I'd say, that's staying with me. So you might ask it to take one step, stop, two steps, stop, five steps, really, really, really slowly, stop. And then the horse will start to go, wow. So you're asking a question. When you ask a question, it's not just one plus is what? And the horse goes, well, what's one plus? It's one plus one equals. So you're asking a question with a defined answer. Not, oh, can we go? And the horse goes, yeah, go. My go, your go, whose go? So, yeah, when you walk your horse off, it's got to be your go, and it's going to be a specific go, and be very specific when you walk your horse off. So your horse understands to be present as soon as the energy goes to the feet and listen to exactly what you're asking. And that's something you get in the habit of doing. So that's working from an important side of it. The next side of it is, you know, the other things that come into play, like that turn, reset, center, when they're trotting, when they leave you. So when your horse walks off and you feel it emotionally leave, as in the ears go forward, it starts to rush out from underneath you, you just take a rein. You might put a 90 degree turn, you might put a U-turn on it. And when that horse kind of recenters a bit, or you offer it anyway, after the turn you go there, because it'll probably slow down after the turn a little bit. And you just go there, there's the center. And you center your hands, release, and just let it go. So every time it leaves, you say, you know, you show it that it's left. And then once the horse can sort of walk without walk, it's walking thinking ahead, but it's not thinking to a destination. Okay, that's what you're trying to think. It's not thinking over there, it's just thinking where it's going and it's connecting with you. So that's what you want to look at. So from that into the, so you work that right up through your trots. And then when you get to your trots, your horse has to learn to trot with you, as in, I'm going up a step, I'm going down a step, I'm going up a step, I'm going down a step. If your horse goes rush, 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 rush in the trot, you just take a rein and bring it back to the trot you're on. So you're trotting, you're posting to the trot like that. If you want to go up a step, you go up a step. And then you go up another step and you go a little bit faster, then you go down a step like that. And the horse learns to tune into those steps. As soon as it leaves a step, you just take a turn around till you just let it come back to that step and you just go again. And till the horse is tuning in at the trot, then the next thing you've got to do is before you put it to canter is know that when you squeeze and go, that horse knows this accelerator. So to calibrate the accelerator, you've got to squeeze your horse, get slow walks, fast walks, all those sort of things. I'm walking slow, I'm walking fast. When I squeeze this much, I know what I'm going to get. When I squeeze this much, I know what I'm going to get. And then you might go from a walk to a relaxed trot. and you just squeeze your horse out. Oh, sorry, a standstill to relax trot, and just squeeze your horse out and it trots. And then when your horse can accelerate without just going off its dial and emotionally leaving, then you might start to accelerate it into canter. And when you do your transitions from your walk to your trot, get the horse to think the trot before it trots. So you might go fast walk, fast walk, fast walk, fast walk with your accelerator, and the horse is walking faster, then all of a sudden there's a point where it goes, I might trot, but it doesn't trot its feet. If you feel your horse, you know when they think trot, but their feet haven't quite caught up to the thought. You can feel it. Everyone can feel it. When I watch people, I say, see, did you feel your horse just think trot? And they went, yeah, because they kind of get this walky amble where they're just about to trot. Well, that's when you go, relax, and you just let them say, thanks for thinking trot, but you didn't have to rush into it. So they just come back to the walk again, or they're already in the walk. And then you do that a few times until you just take them a bit further and they think trot. Then they go, oh, this might trot, and then you just relax them. So when they're actually going into the next gear, you're not pushing them because you've already released on the thought. So when they actually change from the walk to the trot, there's no pressure on. And it's kind of like that at the canter, but the canter is a harder one because you kind of don't get that same feeling as you do from walk to trot, but you'll still sort of, as long as you've got that accelerator calibrated, that the horse is happy to squeeze off those legs and just move up. When it's relaxed in that trot, you'll just quickly go, come back to a nice jog that's connected and the horse is listening, and then you go, step up. But all this takes time, just going walk, trot, canter, and trying to bring a horse back from a fast canter, to me, is working at that end of the spectrum. And you have to come from this end and start from here, you know, in your walks and in your, how your horse leaves from the stop, how your horse leaves from the walk, all those things have to be addressed. And then your horse might not get so rushy, because the main thing, the reason why it was rushy, is because it was way ahead and worried about legs and things like that. I hope that makes sense. There's a lot to it. So while you're... Okay. Joe, I'll quickly get your question now, because I think it's the last one. So instead of saving it for another time, I'll do it while everyone's online. I've got a very nervous horse, scared of his own shadow type. Type nervous horse. Does not trust humans. I am going to ride him in the arena. How can I work on connection? He has not been ridden in probably 12 months, and the horse eating donkeys are in the next paddock. Okay. don't ride him. That's probably not a good answer, but how am I going to work on a connection? Well, basically, you've just got to, as you see, if you have been on the subscription just recently, there's a new video that's gone up. People have been wanting it a little bit, and yet you've seen it at clinics, and a lot of people have been in my clinics have seen me work on it, and it's sort of just distracting a horse from worry to center it. And basically, I'd have to start at that angle first, because by the sounds of it, if everything's going to eat him, he needs to sort of be more connected with you, and that means you've got to kind of distract him away from the worry. So that's you've got to gain his focus on that one. So, if there's a horse eating donkey over there, you might just pop the flag over here, and he goes, "What's that?" And by the time, you know, the flag's done and dusted, and you're just standing there nice and calm and centered, and he'll just kind of go, "Oh, that's a horse eating donkey," and you might pop the flag, and he'll look over there, but when he looks back to you, you'll be standing there nice and calm, and he's going to go, "Oh, calm, you're standing, horse eating donkey, pop the flag, calm person." So he won't be looking at a flag waving or anything like that when he turns around and going, because that'll just scare him. You know, when people get a horse's focus, sometimes they're like, I'm over here, hi. And the horse is kind of like, oh, there's that sort of strange person over there. There's a horse eating donkey. Geez, I don't know where I'm going to go. But so that's when I try and sort of distract a horse, I kind of go distract, done. And by the time the horse has actually shifted its thoughts around and went, what was that? The only thing it's got to look at is me going, I'm centered and I'm a tree and I'm calm. And it goes, geez, I'll take that option. So once he breathes on you, once he connects to you, once he knows that you're a tree, you're a good place, he might start worrying about the horse eating donkeys. Okay. And there's times that you've probably seen at clinics where horses completely just come down and they go, right, I'm happy here now, no matter what's going on around them. And there's a video online that I'd suggest you watch if you haven't watched it already. And it was done on my phone, and it's a pretty distracted thoroughbred, and you know the thoroughbred because you saw it at the next clinic in How Long. But that was the first clinic that this thoroughbred did in Canberra last year. So yeah, that's just where I kind of get his focus. And once you've got your horse's focus, kind of go about the groundwork as I show you, just sort of, you know, getting close, getting coming up around you, all those things. So you're kind of close and with him, and, you know, step up carefully on him, but basically teach him to start to let down and calm with you, because he's probably one of those horses that never had a place just to sort of center and relax. So Joe, I'd really work on that. That first, so he can get around that arena and not worry about the donkeys on the ground. And once you can, you know, take him around, and then why don't you get Trevor to ride him anyway? Just chuck Trevor on and chase him around. He'll be right. I hope Trevor sees this. But anyway, yeah. All right. I think that's all the questions, everyone. But I hope some of those answers helped everybody out. And in the next talk, I'll be talking from Germany. Looking forward to heading over there. There's some good friends that I get to meet over there, and yeah, it's going to be an exciting trip. So anyone that's online that's over there that wants to come and watch me, that'd be great. But anyway, thanks everybody, and I'll see you later.